Amen. How are you? Good. Amen. Praise the Lord. The song we were singing there is Isaiah chapter 6. It talks about in the year that King Uzziah died, that the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And you know that King Uzziah talks about, there's a lot of in-depth study on that, but it talks about the Adamic nature, the flesh man. And you know, we all have different parts of us that when Christ went to the cross, the flesh man died on the cross, and we should just want to be willing to stand in the presence of the Lord and sing holy unto His name. Praise the Lord. But each and every day, each of us has a part of us that dies out. So the flesh part dies out of us each and every day as we grow in Christ. And as that happens, it just makes you want to cry holy. And you know, the Lord's been dealing with me a lot lately, and Lisa asked me to. It's really loud, isn't it? The Lord, Lisa asked me to minister here a couple days ago, and the Lord's just been dealing with me a lot, been really struggling in my spirit just to find rest and just trying to figure out which direction the Lord would have me to go as an individual and have my family to go, and just what the Lord's doing. You know, sometimes you go through life you just don't know. You just don't know. And so you're sitting there and you're praying and you're seeking God, or you read the Word. And you know, one thing that I've always found is the Word's always been there. Regardless of whatever else you know, you feel like you might be hitting the heavens with brass as you're praying, or you know, you might not be feeling like worshiping that day or something, but the Word's always there, and the Word is what it is, and it's always real and it's always rich. And so I always try to lean on the Word to give comfort. And so, you know, you read all the scriptures, you know, we all know all the scriptures that, you know, Psalms 23, go in and read that. That's supposed to be a lifter upper. You know, go into the Psalms, I think it's one, where, you know, we hide under the shadow of his wings. And you go into the book of Romans and you find out that, you know, grace is freely given. It's not something that you can earn. And all these uplifting scriptures, and you just keep reading these and trying to build, and I've been doing that, and I've still been struggling, still been sort of struggling in my spirit to get that peace and that rest that I'm seeking for in the Lord. And you know, it I was listening to Lisa preach this morning, and it touched my heart. And you know, I read ahead, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that reads ahead, but you know, I read ahead sometimes. And you can't read ahead if you're just reading that, but you can read ahead if you have your Bible. And I was reading ahead a little bit while she was preaching, and it goes over into the book of Ruth there. I think it's the second chapter, verse 7 or something like that. And it talks about that Boaz told his servants, he said, "I'd like you to put some handfuls of purpose out in the field for Ruth to get." And it just struck me, you know, and I went and I read it in the Amplified, and the Amplified says, you know, it says handfuls on purpose, you know, in other words, put them out there, handfuls of something for her. And I went and read it in another version, but the King James Version, it struck me because it said handfuls of purpose. You know, God will take a situation that we're in, whatever that situation might be, just might be the period of life that you're in, and He'll put little handfuls of purpose out there for each of us, that we might be able to glean that field. I wanted to share with you real quick, and then we'll get going, but this just touched my heart this morning. You know what gleaning is? Anybody know what gleaning is? Take the bits. Bob? Clean up the remains. Yeah, I mean, essentially that's what it is. I got a definition here. I had in one of the Bibles, it says, gleaning is the process of looking for good stuff left behind. I like that. It's looking for the good stuff that's left behind. You know, and that's hard work. Sometimes it's hard work to get that little bit that's left over after the reapers have come through, and you gather up the little bit that's left. But sometimes that's all that's there, and you have to gather that up in order to survive. But in the process of that, of gathering that, you find favor in sight of the owner of the field. And what happens is you become, well, you become engaged to the owner of the field. You become familiar to the owner of the field. And what happens? Well, guess what? A little bit later, Ruth owns the field. She owns the field. You know, and that's what God does for us. Sometimes He just says, you know what? I'm going to put some handfuls of purpose out there to give you a little bit of purpose to go forward with. And the result of that will be that we'll figure out that we're in a place with Him where we own the field. And the whole field's ours. Everything that's in the field. We don't have to glean around the edges anymore. And we don't have to take those little handfuls. But everything that's in the field becomes ours. And so, you know, I'm looking and gathering up the little handfuls of purpose in hopes and in knowing that God has a whole field for me. You know, that's each of our heart's desire. If you're in a place right now in your life where maybe you're not reaping everything you think you should in the Lord, and I'm not talking about finances, and I'm not talking about, you know, that's all part of everything, but I'm talking just about where are you at in the Lord tonight? Are you getting everything that God has for you? Or everything that He's purposed in you? You know, 20-some years ago, man, it's been a long time ago. Jesus, Pete, one of these days I'll be saying 30-some years ago. But, man, and you're almost 50, it really starts to hit you a little bit. Of course, I won't be there as soon as you will be, but, you know, that which will be one little tidbit of purpose that I'll really enjoy. That Andy will be there first. But, you know, 20-some years ago, the prophet came to me and he prophesied to me. And, you know, most everybody knows that I was raised in a small town. And I was never around, animals other than a dog or a cat, unless the bird was in a tree above me, okay? And so the prophet comes to me, and the prophet says to me, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be as fatback in the body of Christ. Well, I didn't know. Maybe I should have hit him or what that meant. You know, what's fatback? Because I was pretty skinny at the time and I couldn't imagine what this meant. So it was great. Everybody's rejoicing. You know, I heard people going, amen, that's great. And I'm thinking, man, I don't even know what that is. But it must be good. But it must be good because people were excited about it. And the prophet was really letting me have it, you know. And you're going to be the fatback in the body of Christ. Oh, man, I don't know what that is. So after I got done and I went out and I talked to some people and I said, what's fatback? And I come to find out that fatback's a seasoning. It's that fat. It's just fat. It's exactly what it says. It's fat, right? With little bits of meat in it, I guess. Yeah. If you put in a pot, to season the pot. Well, you know, over the years, I've been seasoning, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but I have been seasoning in the pot. And I look back over my life, and there have been times when I've seasoned the pot good. There's been times when I haven't been seasoning the pot too well. But one thing's for sure, I've always been seasoning. And, you know, I was thinking the other night on the way home and just trying to figure out where the Lord has us right now. And, you know, sometimes you make decisions and you think it's the Lord, and then you're in the middle of the decision and you're thinking, I'm not sure it was the Lord now. And so you're trying to figure all that out. And the Lord was speaking to me and I was coming down the road and I was singing some old songs and stuff and I was singing these old songs. And I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm not the preacher I thought I was going to be. I'm not the preacher I thought I was going to be. But, when I get up to speak, I have something to say. Yeah. Now, it may not be for everyone, but I have something to say that's going to touch somebody's heart. And that's not to pat me on the back. That's to say that the Lord has put something in me. Yeah. And it may be just for one person, but something that I'll say, I believe that God will use it to touch someone's heart. And it might not even be here in front of the congregation. It might be out as I run into someone at work or wherever I'm at. And I come down a little bit further down the road and I thought, well, you know, I thought I was really going to be, you know, the next Dallas Holmes, you know, back in the early 80s. He was big back then. Nobody doesn't even know who that is now, but I thought I'd be the next Dallas Holmes. You know, and I'm not the best singer in the world. I had to come to grips with that, but I can sing. And there's sometimes I can sing pretty good. And I don't back off of that. You know, I'm not the best, but I can carry a tune. And the Lord has used that. So the Lord's using those things. And I come down the road a little bit further and I said, you know, Lord, I'm not the best dancer, but I can dance. Amen. You know, I'll dance in the Lord. And, And I'm not the best at that. I've seen some pretty good dancers here at camp, you know. But I can dance to the Lord as unto the Lord, and I can bring and I can praise Him in the dance, and I appreciate that in Him. And I just started going down through the list of things that God is that He's worked in my life, and I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm not the best at any of these things. And that was always my goal. Anybody's been around me, I always want to win. I never want to lose. And I always want to be the best at whatever I do. And he said, but but he said, you're the best you that you can be. You know, because I am who I am. And you know, I don't just get up here just to talk about what I am, but that's what the Lord wants you to know this evening. He wants you to know that you can look around and you can say, well, man, that person can really sing, or that person can really play, or that person can really do this, or preach, or that person can do this. And that person, God doesn't want us comparing ourselves to other people. He wants us comparing ourselves to Him. And we start to look at Him and we start to realize that He's made us in, you know, I like what Lisa said this morning. She said, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. Yes, He did. You know, He knew you in before you were formed in the womb. Yeah. Yeah. You know, God knew you before you were formed. And that struck her and it struck me too because He knew, yeah, exactly. He's made us who we are. I like to sing a little bit rock and roll, a little bit country, and you know, and other people, they like to sing this other stuff, whatever it might be. And so I have a different mode, but that's what, but I enjoy worshiping the Lord in all kinds of ways. And what the Lord spoke to me was, He said, then go ahead and worship, you know? And so over the last few years at times, you know, I felt like I've been in, and I'll get to scripture here in a minute, but I felt like I've been in the crowd at times and felt like I've been trying to shove through the crowd, like the woman with the issue. Yeah. And just to get a hold of Him, you know, and you get, you're pushing through and you're sort of backing away and you sort of don't want to be seen and you just want to just touch Him for just a minute. Just touch Him. Just so you can get rid of your issues and such. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, that I've been healed. And he spoke that into my spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Yep, I'm a pretty good crier too. I do that well. Mark chapter 5. Verse 25. So all that to say this is I just want you to know that this evening that if you're in a place and we all go through these places and some of us will admit it and some of us won't, that we all go through a place in our life at times where we feel like the heavens are brass and like that we're just want to reach out and get a hold of the Lord. And we just have to keep pressing. You know, this woman with this issue of blood, let's read that. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 5 in verse number 25. And it says, there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and she'd suffered many things of many physicians, and she spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and she touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, and isn't that what we're all looking for? I mean, we're all looking for peace and rest in God. I mean, that's what we're looking for in God. Let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles 32. If you're liable to get home in time to see the last part of NCIS or something here this evening, we'll... Wrong night? Oh man, sorry about that. Whatever it is, Lost or something's on Sunday nights, I guess. Chapter 32, verse number 7. Let's go back to verse 6. And it says, and he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street and of the gate of the city. And this is Hezekiah speaking here. And just to give you a little bit, there's a king called, I'll try to pronounce it, Sennacherib. He was the king of Assyria, and he was attacking Judah at the time. And King Hezekiah pulls the people together, and he said, in verse number 6, he said, he set the captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us, and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You know, and that's what the Lord will do for us. When we recognize that the Lord is for us, and that the Lord will fight for us. It doesn't matter what comes against you in life, whether it be a physical ailment, whether it be mental anguish, whether it be family issues, whether it be financial issues, whatever it might be, whether it be just trying to get through spiritual dry places. God, if we put our trust in Him, He'll fight for us, and the result will be that we'll have rest. And you know, that's such a precious place. When, you know, my wife tells me that she can tell when I'm thinking, and because she says I just sort of stare out and my eyes dart. And I guess it's like, I don't know if it's like a computer, but I've always, when I'm not at rest, when I'm thinking about too many things at one time, your mind just becomes cloudy. And I find myself in that state periodically. And maybe you don't, and maybe you don't find yourself unrested at times, but sometimes I do. And I know that if I get into the Word of God and read that word, that it'll bring peace to me. Praise the Lord. It'll bring rest. So anyhow, one of the things that has always helped me, was again 20 odd years ago. I was supposed to preach down in Florida, for a morning service at, this church down there. And I was with, Pastor Jack and Lynn. And I was struggling because I read the whole Bible overnight, trying to find something to say to these people. And, it wasn't like we were going to have a big crowd that morning. You know, it wasn't a big crowd was going to be there. And I was just struggling to figure out what to say to these people. And I read and studied and pulled out every, book that I could find that was there at the church and just prayed and read some more, and pastor came out to me, Pastor Jack, and just said, he said, you know, if you just rest in that, the Lord will give you what you need. Man, I wish he'd have told me that about 6 hours ago. That's the way he does you, isn't it? Yeah, he always tricks you like that. So I rested in the Lord, and the Lord gave me a word. You know, and I say that to say this, that I've used that over the years at times. You know, it's like even this evening, you know, I had all kinds of thoughts going through my mind, and And sometimes I don't put them together homiletically, you know, in a nice outline, but I thought, you know what, I'll just rest and just let the Lord do what the Lord's going to do, and we'll go from there. Because that's where it's at. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the book of Ruth, and I just want to read this to you. In the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Go to verse number 15. And it says, "And when she was risen up to glean," Boaz is talking about Ruth, "Boaz commanded his young man, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." And I just sort of started that, and God's got some handfuls of purpose for you. You may not think that you have that much to offer, and maybe you think you got lots to offer, but God's got some little handfuls of purpose for you. He's got purpose for you in this body of Christ. Each one of us in this house has a purpose, and God'll make sure that you get a little bit of that purpose to keep you going forward. And when all's said and done, then you'll realize that that the field's going to be the field's yours. Once I don't know how to say it, but Ruth became Boaz's wife, and as a result of that, the field became hers, and she no longer had to glean around the edges. And there's a time in each one of our lives when God brings us to a place where there's a bountiful amount. And you may find sometimes that you go through cycles, but God wants you to have a bounty. He doesn't want you to have to glean around the edges all the time. But if you're willing to glean around the edges during the dry time, He'll make sure that you get a bounty. Amen.
But when hard times come, and hard times do come, it rains on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
Won't accept that or not. Hard times do come sometimes. But, we can either go ahead and glean around that field until better times come, or we can kiss it off and say goodbye, I'm out of here, which is what Orpah did.
Right.
She kissed her mother-in-law and she left. She went her own way. It's not hard to follow God when everything's good, but it's a little bit harder.
Amen.
Whenever you're not sure what your direction is, whether you're not sure what's ahead of you, whether you're not sure what's facing you, Orpah knew that what was back there she was familiar with.
Amen.
She was in a wicked, idolatrous, wantonous country. I mean, that was a sinful country. But she knew those ways, so, it wasn't hard for her to go back to those ways.
Amen.
But it's a little bit harder whenever you got to buckle up and pull up your bootstraps and go ahead and follow after God, even if you don't know the direction you're going, even if you don't know which way He wants you to go. You just keep on walking until
Amen.
You do. Paul said, having done all to stand, just stand.
Amen.
The struggle comes whenever we keep trying to figure it out.
Amen.
But
Amen.
When we come to a place of rest in the Lord where we can truly trust Him and say, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm in on this with you.
Amen.
And that's the blessing of being able to come into a rest with God. It's just not having to struggle to try to figure it out.
Amen.
If you figure all your life, you'll never figure out God.
Amen.
Because His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts.
Amen.
But I thank God for the direction that He does take us in. Because as we know, as you said, at the end result, we know that we can glean around the field, but sooner or later, we're going to marry the man that owns the field.
Amen.
I remember back when Jack was on strike at with $35 a week income.
Mm-hmm.
That was a struggle. But God taught us how to survive.
Amen.
God taught us that when you follow the principles of God, you can't outrun the blessings of God. There is blessing down the road. And as we followed after those principles, and we learned the principle of giving even out of our sacrifice. They talk about sacrificial giving. You know, it's easy to give when you've got a pocket full, but when you don't have much,
mm-hmm.
you think about what I'm going to do next week or the next week or the next week. But if we're obedient to the principles of God and do what God tells us to do,
mm-hmm.
you can't outrun the blessings of God. And so as God prepares us for hardships, there's times when we have to get in a place where we have to prove God for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you how God will take care of you, but unless you've been there,
mm-hmm.
you don't really understand until you've been there. So, you know, I picked up a tape in Georgia. I learned it to you. I haven't got to hear
yeah.
it yet. But the title of it was, I'm Struggling, But I'm Okay.
Amen.
And I think when we can have that settled in our heart, I might be struggling, but I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if this is what God's bringing me through, if this is how he's training me, if this is a struggle I need to go through to get that field, or to get to marry that man that owns mm-hmm. that field, then I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
You know, she was talking this morning about Elijah by the brook. Everything was great, but the brook dried up.
Mm-hmm.
God just was preparing him for hardship. He'd already prepared.
Right.
He'd already prepared the meal and the oil before. But, there's things that God takes us through that just causes us to prove God.
Amen.
You know, and like I said, you know, I can tell you what God can do, but if you don't experience it for yourself, you never really truly understand or truly know the blessing of the Lord in your own life.
Amen.
Then you can honestly stand before somebody and say, look, I've been there, and I've done that, and I got the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you this, God always comes out the winner to finish him up.
Yes.
Amen.
Always. He never fails, never lets us down, never disappoints us. Our disappointments and our shortcomings is because we're struggling
mm-hmm.
again to figure out God.
Amen.
And there's no way you can figure out God.
Amen.
You've got to learn to trust him so that the peace of God can rule in your heart.
Amen.
There is no peace without the Prince of Peace in your life.
Amen.
So, you know, when you've got him, you've got all you need.
Amen. Amen. He gives us rest. The book of Romans chapter 12, Mom had a beautiful thoughts on all that. And a lot of us, a lot of times, and maybe we don't, but some of us, I guess, we think we can earn different levels in God by doing different things. And you know, this scripture just struck me the other day, and it said, Romans 12 and 3, it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And the key that got to me was in the first line where it says, for I say through the grace given. You know, his grace isn't earned by what we do or what we say, but his grace is given to us freely, and we can't earn that. And just, you know, too often in life we try to earn everything in God, and I was probably, over the years, I've been as guilty probably that, or more guilty than anybody, I guess, or at least as guilty, trying to earn your way into the kingdom by doing lots of work and, you know, for the Lord and different things like that. But that's not the way it happens. His grace is given to us. His love is given to us. Everything that he gives to us freely, and you don't earn it. And just like you don't earn it, you don't lose it because of something, in your life that might be wrong. He still loves you. The grace is still there. It's all still there. So if you didn't earn it, you can't lose it. And that's what we try to do in God too often. We try to earn His favor and earn that rest and earn that peace and earn all these things. And it's not something you earn. It's something that He freely gives. So just rest in the Lord tonight. Rest in the Lord. When you read that word, don't struggle with it. Just read it and let the Lord speak to you. When you pray, don't struggle in your prayer, but just pray and let the Lord answer your prayer. And believe God when you're praying that what you're asking, you know, the word prayer means, or to pray means to ask. And when you pray or when you ask God, just believe it to be so. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years is that when I pray, the first thing that I do, my wife, it drives my wife and kids crazy because I really pray a long time in the mornings. And they just, they're like, we got to go to school, you know, or we got to do this. But I want to make sure I cover as much as I can in that little bit of time that we have. Because I'll tell you, once I get home in the evening, we're like, boom, 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 and there's not a lot of time. But I'll pray, and the first thing that I do is I thank God for that which He has given to us. And because it's important for us when we pray to thank the Lord for what He's already done. You know, we sing the song, Look What the Lord Has Done. Lisa touched on it this morning. God has done great things in our lives. This house has been blessed in the Lord. And if we thank the Lord, then once you got His attention, then go in and start. It's like your kids. Man, my kids, they're good askers. They're good askers. But you know what blesses me the most is when they come to me and they thank me for something. You know, and so that's what we need to do with the Lord. We need to thank the Lord for the things that He's done and thank Him for the blessings that He's given us, whatever that might be, and then say, hey, and Lord, guess what? I need something over here. And then believe Him that it's going to happen. Believe that He's going to do what He said He would do. If you need healing in your body, you ask God and believe it because God said He would heal you. He has healed you. The Bible says by His stripes you were healed. Just believe God. Believe God. You know, I've had a lot of promises. I was promised I'd be fat back, and I've seen that in little pieces here and there. But I don't think that's come to fruition yet. I don't think I'm the seasoning in the pot yet, but I'm believing God that's going to happen, and I'll be really seasoned up. I mean, I'm getting fat. I mean, so I'm starting to resemble fat back probably more than I did 20-some years ago. But I believe that God's going to use me in ways that I don't know yet. You know, God spoke a lot of things over my life over the years, and I haven't seen it all come to fruition. Some of it I have, but I'm going to believe God for that. You know, and I'm just, I'm tired of struggling, trying to hit the heavens. I'm just going to believe God that what He said is true. And that's what we need to do as a body. Believe God that what He said to you, whether someone stood up here and preached a word to you, someone sung a song that touched your heart, you picked up the word and read it yourself, or someone came and prophesied to you, believe what God's saying to you and stand on that promise. Stand on that promise. Because God will make that happen in your life. I believe that. I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you, and maybe I'm the only one in the house here, but there's been time when I've questioned whether or not it was all real. There's been times when I've questioned whether or not it was all real. Because, you know, you come to places in your life and you just, is this even real? Is it even real? Man, that's not a place you want to be. You don't want to be in that place. And God said, you betcha it is. You betcha it's real. You betcha it's real. You know, there's been times when you have to walk this walk out sometimes just on pure nothing else but faith believing that it's real. Amen. And you may not see it, but you gotta stand on the promise and believe that it's real. You know, I'm sure that when David stood in that cave and he was in the backside of wherever, and he's in a cave and Saul's looking for him to kill him, I'm sure he was wondering, is it real? Am I really supposed to be king? Am I really supposed to be all that everybody said I'm supposed to be? And God made Himself real to him. And God will make Himself real to you. Guarantee you. Everybody in here is going through some type of struggle in their life at one point or another. And God has brought you through. So the next time you're in one, just remember that God brought you through one. He can bring you through again. He'll bring you through. I guarantee you. The anchor always holds. Always. And you can't always see it. Might be below the ship, under the water, under the storm. But it's holding. It's holding. Amen. That anchor always holds. And you might come through a little beaten and battered. But just believe me, I tell you, when you come through, that can all be fixed. God can fix it all. Amen. Amen.
What greater blessing is that? Because God deals in families. God started out dealing in Abraham's family. So God deals in families. And if you can get your family saved, then I think we've done what God's called us to do. Because when your family is saved, and my family is saved, and Monty's family is saved, and Muda's family is saved, what else is enough to do?
Amen. Amen.
I found that peace that, regardless of whatever it is, I know it's all going to come out of pain.
Amen. At the end of the day, after the struggle, there's victory in Him. Praise the Lord. There's always victory in Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 There's always victory in Christ. Amen. There's always someone there to lend a helping hand. Praise the Lord. He's always there. And there's always someone He'll use to give you a word. Praise the Lord. Somebody will stop by and give you a word. Amen. Or help you push an MG up on a ramp. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Joyce stopped there today. We're trying to push my car up on a trailer to get it to the mechanic, because when smoke comes out from under the hood of something, you shouldn't drive it. It's just not a good idea. And we were struggling to push it, and Joyce stopped by and she helped push that up on there. I thought that was pretty good, because she's only like this big. But she provided the muscle, man, more muscle than what we were getting. So worked out all right. Worked out all right. The Lord will always be there for you. Amen. Stand your feet, please. Pap? You want to dismiss us?
Okay. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the day, for the blessing, for the encouragement, to lift her up with her soul. We just ask, Lord, that you would bless us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.